Before we give a release, brother, our dear brother Nashon, and want to share about what's happening here in our community, local. Remember, I said that if we don't connect locally, we can never be affected globally. And that's very, very important. In Jerusalem and unto. Now, just to lead up to this, I have a real burden on my heart that most of God's people do not understand eternal life. Now, in John 18, verse 36, Jesus said this, "My kingdom is not of this world." Oh, really? "If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not believe to the Jews, deliver to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Okay. Interesting. Now that is revolutionary in itself. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. So, don't fight. That's a revelation I get from that. He said, we do not war with flesh and blood. Let me submit to you that I believe that the majority of our problems is we fight flesh and blood. Yeah. We get angry. We get frustrated. We speak out of frustrations because someone is doing something to us. And my heart is that I believe we need to understand eternal life. The proverb, Hebrews said in 13 and 14, "For here have we no continuing city, but what do? We seek one to come." Are you? Another place he said, "We're just strangers and pilgrims in this world." Are we? The old songwriter penned it real good. "This world is not my home. I'm just a journeying through. My treasures are laid up. Where? Somewhere beyond the blue, the angels beckon me to heaven's open door." Well, I just, what? Can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know. Come on. Come on. Amen. So, life moves at the speed of relationship. Think about that for a moment with me. Relationship. Oswald Chambers put it this way. He penned it and helped us to understand it so much. Christian perfection is not performance, but it's a relationship. Maturity for a believer is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me add this. I will tell you without much spiritual discernment what your relationship is with Jesus by how you relate to everybody around you. Can I say that one more time? You will tell me, let's put it this way. You will tell me how you're relating to Jesus by how you're relating to everyone around you. The Holy Spirit's been going real deep in my life, starting with my family, starting first of all with my wife. We just celebrated 51 years of marriage. Oh, my Lord. I've been doing a lot of reflecting. And having fun reflecting. I think a lot of us have lost our first love. I've been going there. I remember I told someone this yesterday. As she was, we were talking about when we first fell in love, you know, and she remembers a picture that I was hanging from a tree upside down in front of her, trying to get her attention. Come on. I said, really, did I go that far? Come on. And so as 51 years of living with this woman, my Lord, she needs the biggest rose that anybody could get her, and to live with this crazy Dutchman. Watch your mouth. But anyway, the point is, I think the church has lost its first love. First love. Oh, bring us back to a people that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. No wonder the world is in the shape it's in. Can we blame anybody else but the church? Myself. It's me, O Lord, that needs a resurrection of eternal life and what it means. If we, John 1, 9 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Well, I love that. What? Walk in the light as he is in the light. We dispel darkness. You know, I just feel so concerned for people who are belly aching and complaining. Well, the church is this way. The church is that way. Well, if that people would do this, or if they would do that, why don't you show us? Instead of complaining, show us by your life. If you have problems with me not walking and doing right, why don't you show me how to do it right? In love. Jesus came down to show us the love. Turn with me to John 3, if you would. I want you to look at this. The Bible tells us here that Nicodemus, a man that was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, he was the main man in the religious of that time. The Pharisees. It was a Pharisee of Pharisees. They were the law keepers. They were the ones that knew all the Old Testament. Very interesting. The same came to Jesus by night. He was seeing a lifestyle that was different than any other person he ever saw. He didn't want to let his other Pharisees know he was doing this. Rabbi, he honored him. He saw he was different. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except what? Let's read it together. God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me encourage you. You better not argue with someone that is unsaved. They'll never see it. First, get them saved. Amen. Talk to them about their soul.
He cannot see the kingdom. There's no way of understanding or comprehending anything about the kingdom or what you're doing until a person gets saved. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's read in my Bible. That means Jesus said that. You need to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, does baptism save us? No. What Jesus was talking about all through the Bible, water is typified of the Holy Spirit of God. You see that? Jesus said, in you shall be a well of living water springing up to everlasting life. Water is a type of cleansing and purifying. How we need to be cleansed and purified. And that's what it's talking about here. Though you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, we are thankful. Paul talks a lot about water baptism. It is heart circumcision. It cuts away the strongholds of the enemy in our lives. And we're going to be doing water baptism just in another couple of weeks here. And so go get people saved so we can baptize more people. Hey, what would happen if every one of you would lead one person to the Lord this week? Go do it. They're all around you. And remember, they're hungry. They're hungry for reality. They really are. Very important to see this. Interesting. He goes on to tell us here, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. Now, Gerald Durstein gave us a beautiful example. I'm a Durstein. I was born a Durstein. I always would be a Durstein. But you know, when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I came a part of the family of God. Amen. Incidentally, you can go online and listen to him again and again if you want to. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And then Jesus goes into this amazing picture. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whence it come or whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We cannot understand how God can take a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who is totally reprobate, away from God, and radically change their heart and change their life so that they want to serve Jesus now. Can we? We cannot understand that. But he does it. Look at your neighbor. He did it for them. Hey! We were dead in trespasses and sins. And thank God when we realized that we needed a Savior, we asked him to come in. Did he save you? The power of salvation. The gospel is the power of salvation to everyone that believeth. We need to get a new picture of eternal life here at Grace Chapel. Because that's what Jesus was talking about here. It's very interesting. So, canst thou tell where it comes? So, everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I love this. He goes on in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember the serpent? The serpent was killing the children of Israel. And Moses killed the serpent and hung it on the tree. Everybody who looked was saved and was healed from the bite of the serpent. The serpent we know is sin. You know, that's why the emblem for
The medical profession is the serpent on the cross. Lord, bring us back to that in the medical profession. How many can say amen to that? But you know, we need to look to the cross. That's where Jesus, well, let's read on just for a moment here. That whosoever believeth in him shall what? Not perish. But have what? Eternal life. There it is again. For God, let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through who? Him. Shall what? Really? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Condemn. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Really? That's the word tells us. You know what the Lord has shown me? It is changing my life. When he opens up your eyes to see, it's amazing. If God did not condemn the world, and if there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, then I should never condemn anybody from this day forward. Gordon, I don't know where I'm going with that, but boy, I tell you what, it's changing my life. Do you know, it's amazing. The majority of things we do is condemn people. Putting people down all the time. Holy Ghost. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. If I am in Christ Jesus and I say I live there, I can't condemn you anymore. I can show you a way. And if there's a problem, I can ask permission to talk into you instead of just always, you know, we're so rude and disrespectful. We won't let people finish. When we feel something's wrong, we'll just. Blah, 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 blah. In Jesus, it's different. In Jesus' name, from this day forward, with this revelation, since you are seeing it, you are required now to do it, or you're going to keep on sinning. I don't want to sin. How many? We don't want to sin. Amen? But these are truth in God's Word, that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see change come to this world because of eternal life. Oh, yes, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Okay, he's not condemned. You believe on him, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth. This is all about eternal life here. Everyone that doth evil hateth the light. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested, that they are wrought in God. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I am feeling the Holy Spirit is saying that with the help of the Lord, because you and I have eternal life, we're not going to walk anymore in darkness or anything that is typified with the world. Amen or oh me? Do you agree? So I am seeing something here that, but he that doth the truth, we need to be of truth. We need to get back to the truth of God's word. Comes to the light. I want to continue to come to the light. I want to continue to be associated with believers to help me. I want to be at church every time the doors are open. Why? Because I want the light to be revealing any dark thing in my life so that I can be corrected and be supernaturally changed. I want you. You say, Pastor, come on. If you see anything wrong in me, come to tell me about it. We need to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. I believe a true believer in Jesus Christ will want people to come share with them if there's things wrong in their lives. This is the truth. Jesus said, I am the one that gives truth. I am the way, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's so much in this. The moment you get saved, you are not about yourself any longer. It's not about yourself any longer. Say, thank you, God, setting me free from self. It's not about titles or about position. It's about a tile. You know, bath towel. It's about a tile. It's about taking up servanthood. Only secure people or only mature people can stoop to insecure people. You think about that. It's only when you have the true, pure love of God, you can serve the man in the gutter. You can get down right where he's at. How many can say amen? Brother Nashan, and I want you to come up with your sister here too. I want you to sit here because I want you to share shortly here about what's happening on the local level. So we need to connect. We need to connect. Jesus connected with us. And it's very, very important. There's so much on this. So, Lord, will you connect with us? Will you make this real? True truth brings goodness because he's good. He went about doing good. Beauty, compassion. And we here are strengthened and built together. That's one beautiful expression of who he is in the body of Christ. I mean, I can say amen to that. See, that is my goal and vision for this church, that we will be the true body of Christ. Every joint supplying. We need one another. We need one another to grow together. How many can say amen? And it all comes because of realizing that we need Jesus. We need Jesus desperately. Turn with me this whole thing of in Colossians 2 and 14. And let me read this to you here. Concerning pushing ourselves, there's something about authority. We want control. Colossians 2 and verse 14 and 15. I want to end with this. The Lord has been showing to me the importance of surrender. Blotting out the handwriting, very interesting, of ordinance. that was against us. See, we were in sin. He had a, if you sin, you're going to have to pay. That's the Old Testament. But thank God for the atonements and all of that. There was an ordinance against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, what that literally means, he canceled. Now, get this, if, again, just for a moment. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, condemn us. You're condemned. Every time you sin, you're condemned. The Old Testament was, you do. You got to keep on doing. That's the Old Testament. 400 laws they had to do, you know, over 400 laws. But no, when Christ comes, it's done. Everything's done. Hallelujah. He paid the price. Can you say amen? Then look at verse 15 here. Look at this just for a moment. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And done a little exegesis. And that's what it means. Digging, exegesis means digging into what that really means. And what that really means, it's talking about our core, our past life, our memories, all the failures and disobedience. He canceled that out, and he gave us a new DNA. Hey, come on, come on. Amen. Has been embedded in us now. Hey, Papa, okay, we have a new life. We have Jesus in us. We got a new DNA. Amen. We're not of the world anymore. We're not of the old anymore. Hallelujah. The old has been passed away and the new is living now in me. It's Jesus. Oh, through the cross, the resurrection life, having spoiled. And think of it. All our sins, everything about us has been erased. That's enough to make a mummy shout. In the house. He stripped all spiritual terrors in the universe to improve, with an attempt to improve what God has already perfected in Christ. He has made us free from all strongholds, all principalities, all powers. He has made us show them openly, triumphing them over in it, in Christ. Not in self. Now, he brought to naught all the law of works. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't have to work at it anymore. Oh, I have to believe in Jesus and he's there to help me. Meaning labor. There's a rest to the people of God. Bring me into that rest. Amen. Now we have to labor to enter in. There's a lot to that too. That's amazing how that works. But he has settled it all. That's why I can live in peace and harmony, because I know in whom I have believed, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above which I'm able to ask or think, according to the power that I believe he can do in me. So, it includes every governmental system whereby one is ranked above the other on the basis of their performance and preference. This is what it literally means, folks. Every power, this means willpower, every governmental structure in society will be brought under the dominion of the grace where Christ lies rule. My dear brother, I want you to know that God is doing a supernatural work in you more than anyone has ever dreamed. Because you're getting a new revelation today, and it includes everyone. But I'm talking to you personally. When you allow Jesus to be total Lord over everything, every other governmental authority, every self-will power, everything else is brought under the subjection of Jesus being totally, totally Lord of your life. I am seeing something, and I will be enlarging on this in the next couple of weeks, because that is the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So you see why it's so important that every day, every moment of your life, you crown Him Lord. And let me tell you, everything that is being thrown at you is to knock you off of that position of being one with Him. Where do you see yourself? Where are you living? We're not of this world. Amen? Now, as we go here to this dimension, I want to close with this amazing scripture. Two scriptures, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me just read it to you to finalize this truth. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercy? I have encouraged you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifice. And, very interesting, live in holiness, experiencing all the delights of His heart. You know, that is amazing. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Hebrews 13, 14. The Lord gave me this as the final scripture here today. And I want to confess this over every one of you. And now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Make you mature in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He's doing it. He started the work. He's going to work in you, and He's going to perfect it through you, that you can be mature and perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I don't know about you. I want to live there. Anybody else want to live there? Amen.